man. So we're in Exodus chapter 18, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. I'm going to read down to verse number 27, which is the end of chapter 18. So Exodus chapter 18, I'll begin reading in verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses, his father-in-law, saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses his father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." And notice again verse 18, because that's really the reason for what we're going to talk about. "Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee." In other words, it's not good for you or for them. Verse 19, "Hearken thou unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all the people shall also go to their place in peace." So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. So tonight, and probably if you're reading along with me, you probably know where I'm going with this particular lesson. But we're going to talk about tonight the principle of delegation. Delegating. That's what the whole lesson that Jethro, which was his father-in-law, was teaching Moses. Now, we've been looking at biblical principles that are applied basically to everyone, but then looking at them specifically in areas of leadership. If I lead my family, if I'm maybe in some type of situation at work where I'm a leader, or maybe I'm involved in some organization where I have some leadership over some people, in a church ministry where I'm leading, whatever area of leadership the Lord may give you, we've been looking at biblical principles and applying them specifically to areas of leadership. So most of these principles we looked at apply to all of our Christian life, but they have specific application in specific ways to leadership. This principle is slightly different because it specifically applies to leadership. I think it applies other ways as well, but it's very much mostly about leadership, about delegating authority. So here's what's happening in the text. We read it, but I'll give you it to you. I'll give you the cliff notes. So Israel is traveling to the promised land. There is 1 million-plus people. And they have people problems. You know why they have people problems? Because there are people. And when there's people, there are people problems. That's just the way it is. It's just not necessarily bad. I'm not criticizing them. You can't get two people together, really, without some issues that arise at times. And so these things are happening, and someone has to stand and say, no, oh, no, yep, no, no, do this, no, don't, no, that's not right, don't treat them that way. And so Moses was the only one who was judging between. Now, that many people, and the Bible says he was spending from morning to even. In other words, he's spending the all day, and the people are standing before him all day. My guess is they're just standing there waiting their turn all day long. Like kind of sometimes when you go to the license bureau, you stand there all day waiting your turn. And so they're standing there waiting. So now, particularly on non-traveling days, they traveled some because they're heading to the promised land. But they didn't. They would stop for a long period of time. And so in those non-traveling days, Moses would spend all day doing this judging. And part of the judging was to teach them. So he wasn't just simply right, wrong. He was saying, okay, let me explain to you why this is right. Or let me explain to you why that is wrong. And he was teaching them along with the making the judgments in those situations. So it was judging, teaching, and somewhat administrating in all of those situations. Now, Jethro said, and the Bible records this, that this was too heavy for both Moses and the people. In other words, it was going to create even more issues. If you're waiting in line for hours, what happens? You get antsy, right? You start complaining. You start having other whatever brought you to stand in line. Sometimes becomes the not the main thing. Now the main thing is, why am I standing in line for hours? How come there can't be a better way? And basically, he was saying is, this is just going to get worse and worse. It's just going to create more problems. There's got to be a better way to do this. So Jethro recommends that Moses delegates to capable men, so it could be done more efficiently and more effectively. Now, Moses was still involved, but he wasn't in every minutia of all the small matters. He didn't have to. He just said, okay, you guys deal with those things. Now, if they're real, real big and maybe you don't know what to do, or maybe it's bigger than people are listening to you, okay, I'll deal with those things. But I don't have to be in the minutia of every issue that arises among the people. And as you see, it went well and the Lord blessed it. Now, a leader delegating responsibility to a follower is probably basic leadership 101. I mean, it's not. I don't think you're saying, "Whoa, I mean, that's what leaders do." I think you probably say, "Oh yeah, you know, I've been in the situation, or I've done it, or have it done to me. Either I've been delegated to, or I have delegated." I don't think this is brand new. Like, wow, I never heard that before. But we may not be aware of some lessons regarding the delegation. Sometimes we know the thought, but not the process that makes the thought actually work. And so delegating may be familiar, but maybe we really haven't taken time to understand it. So here's my goal. I always have a goal every time I teach a lesson, some high hopes behind it. My goal is, as we look at our text and we draw lessons, now we tend to try to stay within the text and draw lessons from the text. There's other lessons in other places, but we're trying to draw lessons just from the text. That's what we try to do. And so as we draw lessons just from the text here, that would be a benefit both the leaders in the idea of delegating, and hopefully as a follower, if you're being delegated to, maybe you don't feel like you're, you know, okay, I understand what the process is. If nothing else, hopefully you understand better how church works. Some people, they don't understand how church works. Maybe you've never been in church or church like this. And there is a lot of things we're talking about is how this church functions over this. And very much so, this principle applies. And if some churches don't do things, and I'm not criticizing them, I'm not trying to say that, but some churches don't do it this way that I'm talking. And if you've not been familiar with this, it may not. Maybe you're like, well, I don't really understand how things work around here. Me either, but so we're in the same boat. But anyways, hopefully it helped both of us understand a little bit better how things work or should work. Ready? Let's look at some things together. Let's go to back to our text, verse 18. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to God, that thou mayest bring the causes to God, and thou shalt teach them ordinances, laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. Now, I reread that because the counsel wasn't find a way so you don't have to work. That wasn't the counsel. Even in what he's going to delegate, he's still going to be busy doing some things. So here's the first thing we understand. Number one is this. Delegation should be an extension of the leader's work. In other words, there's actually work going on, and it's being extended through delegating to followers. Delegating is not about finding busy work for a follower. Now, sometimes you have to do that. If you're a parent, sometimes you got to find busy work for your kids because they get antsy. My mom was always good at this. I tell my mom, Mom, I'm bored. She goes, well, I don't want you to be bored. I said, oh, good. Well, where are we going to go? She said, no, we're not going anywhere. You know, that fence out there needs painted.
Oh.
You know, I need some holes dug there because we're going to put another fence over there. Yeah, we need to do some work over there.
Ugh.
And so my mom always found busy work for us. She was good at that. And so sometimes you got to find busy work. And when I was in my days of my classic days of Long John Silver's, sometimes things would be dead. Now, basically our crew was always teenagers. We had a few older people, but basically it was all teenagers. And we scheduled people based on, there's a process and a formula and all this, based on sales and all, I won't get into all that. So you typically didn't have a lot of downtime. People were pretty busy. You had things to have done. You had a checklist that had to be done. You know, get these things done on your shift. But sometimes business just dropped off. Now, when you have two or three teenagers standing around doing nothing, you know what happens? They find things to do, usually the things you don't want them to do. And so you had to find them things to do. And so you'd find some busy work. So sometimes there is busy work involved, but that's a different situation. I'm talking about just the normal doing of leading, okay? So we're not talking about just busy work. Rather, we're talking about involving others in the work of the leader. Okay, even if you're adopting sometimes their suggestions, which is what Moses is doing here, he's adopting Jethro's suggestion, but you're including them in the work. You're getting them involved in the work. Okay? So why am I saying that? This delegation implies that the leader himself is working, but does not have the time or ability to do the task he is delegating to a follower. So the leader himself should be the one who's working. Put it this way, what we are delegating should be something that we are both willing to do and see the importance of doing, but need to delegate it to someone else. Now, if you think even as parenting, this applies. You know, as a parent, you don't simply get the kids to do all the work so you can sit around and watch TV and do nothing. Usually there's work to be done, and so you get the kids involved in doing this while you're doing other things. You are working, and you're extending that work through them. So it's not that the leader's doing nothing. You're extending that work through the followers. So this delegation implies that the leader himself is working, and whatever you are delegating is something that you see the importance of. You would be willing to do it. You might not be able to do it. For example, we have people who sing specials for us. Now, probably all of us here, if we had the ability, we'd be willing to do that. But not all of us have. Not everyone can stand up. Okay, Molly did a great job on Sunday. Okay, now, and it was a beautiful song, and it would kind of bring you to tears. It was a beautiful song. Now, if I stood up and sang a special, it would bring you to tears for different reasons. Now, it had nothing to do with the words. It would be the way I sang it. And so, not all of us have the same ability, but if we're delegating something to someone, it's because we have the same heart for it, the same desire, we see the reason for it. We're not just giving off things because we're too lazy to do it ourselves. So what we're delegating should be something that we're willing to do and see the importance of doing. Maybe we don't have the time, maybe we don't have the ability, but we see it's a necessary thing. So a leader delegates not because he doesn't want to work, but he needs help in the work. Now I think of all the things I'm saying, that is critical to understand. If you're going to delegate and you're giving out work, and the person you're giving the work to thinks you're too lazy to do it yourself, that's a bad thing. They should think, you know what, he's a hard worker, and I know that he would do this if he could. And so therefore, if we were, okay, let's say we were digging ditches. Let's say we had to dig a ditch from the building to the road. And we had a ditch digging work day. And a bunch of guys came out and started, and I said, okay, you know, you dig here and you dig here, and we figure out what it is, and we don't need to all dig in the same spot. We can kind of be in different places. We'll make the ditches connect. Yes, great. And then they're out there sweating. It's the middle of the summer, and they come in, and I'm sitting here in the air conditioning drinking iced tea, watching out the window. Okay, good job, guys. You know, that would probably demotivate them, wouldn't it? They'd say, well, how come? No, I've delegated this to you. But it sounds like you're too lazy to do it yourself. That's what it looks like. And so we're not talking about being lazy and getting other people to do the work. We're talking about extending work that we're doing. We're already working. We're extending it through others. That's what Moses was doing. Moses wasn't being lazy. Moses was extending his own work by delegating it to others. That's the first thought. Here's the second thought. Go back to verse 21 of chapter 18. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. In other words, not everyone could lead the same amount. And so based on what they could do is what they were given. And let them judge the people, now watch this, at all seasons. Now, Moses couldn't do it at all seasons. There's times when Moses couldn't because Moses still had other obligations, like, you know, like when he went on the mountaintop. So he couldn't do it all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. So number two is this. So only not only are we extending the work, but number two is this. Delegation should increase the amount of work accomplished. If I have delegated, or if you've delegated, or someone else has delegated, and if the amount of work accomplished is not increasing, then there's a problem with the delegation, because really it hasn't happened. Giving someone a task, and now watch this statement, because this is, if you ever are in a position of leadership, okay, let's say we're going to have a ditch digging day here. And it just happens to be on vacation that week. Just happens, okay, by coincidence. So I say to Kevin, you got James coming out, you got Joe coming out, you got Paul coming out, you got Caleb coming out. Those four men are going to, and you got Sam because he just stood up and volunteered. Okay, and you have Sam coming out, and those one, two, three, four, five. Those five men, including you, now six of you, you're going to dig this ditch. You're in charge, okay. Now, one of the things that people do not like when they have to delegate, because they have to say, okay, James, you dig here, and Paul, you dig here. Now, that's a rather simple procedure. But in a bigger scheme, people don't like to delegate because they don't want to give someone authority. Because they may use authority against me. What if I make this guy a ruler of 1,000 and he turns those 1,000 people against me? What if I make this person a ruler of 100 and they turn those 100 against me? Now, I'm going to say this, and again, I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm really thinking about so-and-so. Okay? I'm not thinking about anyone or any church or any pastor. I'm just saying just making a blanket statement here. One reason pastors tend not to delegate, because they're afraid that if I give Dale Stein areas of delegation, if I delegate something to him and give him some area and people are following him, what if they like Dale more than me? What if they want to leave and have the Dale Stein Baptist Church? Okay, but what happens is this. You're not going to get much more work done if you're the only ones doing it. And you have to give people. Now watch this. When I delegate work, you're also delegating the authority to do the work. And you have to let them get the work done. So when we delegate this job, then we're delegating the authority to accomplish that task. And that can be scary at times. Watch this. When a leader delegates a task, but still... Now, if you've had a job like this, you know what I'm talking about. When a leader delegates a task, but still retains all the control, the amount of work does not increase because the leader becomes a bottleneck. We had this manager. I don't know, Kelly, I don't know if you were there at the time. I think you were. Remember, we had a couple women managers. We had Joan. Joan was a short lady who was my manager. I don't know if she was you might have had Sam as your manager. But Joan, she was a great boss. She would come to you and she'd say, you know what you're doing? Yep. Blah, blah, blah. Yep. Okay. And that'd be it. I wouldn't see her the rest of the day. Great boss. Let me do my job. We had another lady. She was this other. Remember the other lady who looked like she played for, like, starting linebacker for the Chicago Bears? Big old lady. So kind of scared of her. But she would come in and she would, like, okay, we've worked there. We've done this hundreds of times. And she would come and start saying, well, you know, you can do it this way. You know, you got to do this. Oh, no, do this. And she would just be there constantly telling us what to do, even though we do this every day. That was very annoying. That type of micromanaging means less work gets done. So if you give someone some delegation, you can't sit, even if you think of your kids. Okay, I tell a child to clean the room. And then I sit there the whole time and say, no, no, put it there. No, 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 do that. No, no, go to that. No, no, do that. I'm not extending my work. I might as well do it myself. Now, depending on the kid, depending on the age of the kid, depending on the training of the kid, depending on what you're trying to do with the child, I understand you may have to come and say, I told you to clean your room, not shove everything underneath the bed. You can pull that on you and start putting things away. You may have to check on it and make sure it's done right. But if every time they're cleaning a room, every single time I'm standing there telling them what to do every time, I have not delegated. Okay, that's not delegation. Okay, micromanaging is not delegating. You have to give them the authority, the room, the opportunity to do some things for themselves. So when we delegate a task and we still contain all of the control, then we become the bottleneck. Everything is still dependent on the leader to be done. Notice what it says. Let me see if I can find the phrase. There it is, verse 22. And let them judge. If you're going to make them judges, let them judge. Okay, so let's say we have all these rulers. Rulers of 1,000, rulers of hundreds. It's a whole bunch because there's 1,000,000+ people. And let's say every time, okay, you're going to be one, Dale's going to be one, and Kelly's going to be one, and Francis is going to be one. And I say, okay, tell me every judgment you made. Oh, yeah, that was good. Yeah, that was good. Okay, and oh, no, you go back and change that one. No, go change that one. Now tell me every one you did. No, yeah, that's good. No, change that one. And if I had to go involved in everything you're doing, that would be problematic. Why not just do it myself? So I have to say, you need to make the judgments. Here is, and we'll talk about parameters in a moment. Here's the parameters. Make the judgments in it, and we'll live or die by it. And so you have to not just give them the work, you have to give them the authority to do the work so that you're not the bottleneck. I think I have one more statement here. Delegating a task is also delegating the authority to make decisions within that task. Now, I make statements not because I'm thinking of people. I'm just saying, I'm thinking of life that I've lived and how things have happened. And can I tell you, in other places, but I'm thinking specifically in church, this has been sometimes a problem in churches. Because someone wants to just micromanage everything that's happening. And it becomes frustrating to those who are trying to follow you. You've got to give them some space and let them do what you've asked them to do. So you would say, well, what if they don't do it how I want them to do it? Well, I'm going to make two comments, which brings us to point three. Comment number one is they won't, because they're not you. Comment number two is you kind of give them the parameters, and as long as they stay in the parameters, then you should be happy about it. And if they don't, then either you chose the wrong person to delegate it to, or you didn't tell them the parameters very well. So it brings us to number three. Look with me at chapter 18, talking about parameters. I'm glad you mentioned that word. Let's talk about it. Verse 18, thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee, thou not perform it thyself alone. Drop down to verse 22, and let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring to thee, but every small matter, now here's the parameters, every small matter they shall judge. Okay, so what, I'm sure there was more said to them than these words here. I'm sure he had more discussion about what that meant, what was small, what was great. So shall be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. So there's some communication that Moses had with them. It said, within this area here, okay, so within this, this is the parameter. These are what a lot of times are called fences. This is the fence, okay? Here's the fence. Everything within that fence, you're going to decide. Anything beyond that fence, bring it to me. But everything in the fence, you need, and now he has taught them, we see that earlier, he has taught them, look at verse 20, thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws. So he's taught them what that should be, what those decisions should be, the laws and ordinances that control them, but he gave them that authority to make those decisions. So that brings us to number three. Delegation should allow for parameters that do not need the leader's input. Now, let me just speak for myself. I do not like, if I've set someone up as, okay, so let's use Brother Choma. So Brother Choma has certain areas of authority within his church that I've delegated to him. Now, let me tell you what, he does not do this. This is not a backhand way of criticizing him, okay? But let me tell you what would irritate me, that if every time a decision made, he asked me about it. He asked me about it. I would basically say this, why don't I just do it myself, because obviously I'm making every decision already. I chose you to make the decision. I gave you the parameters. As long as you're not going outside the parameters, make the decision the best you know how. So we give them, we as a leader, give our follower parameters and then ask them to stay within them. So there should be parameters that are that the delegated task stays within. And as long as those parameters are honored, the leader should not should seek not to involve himself. Because if you do, you're back to micromanaging, which is our next statement. Micromanaging a delegated task defeats the purpose of delegating a task. Micromanage kills delegation. If you're micromanaging, you're not delegating. Now, let me give you some, if you're in this situation as a leader who delegates, let me give you some wise counsel that was given to me that helped, was a big help to me. Pastor Ron Royalty down in Poland, Ohio, Gospel Baptist Church, he gave me a lot of counsel as a young pastor. Something he told me, I don't even know what we're discussing, and usually it's not that I would go to him and ask him questions. I would just start a conversation and listen to what he said, because he just said so many wise things, and I just kind of took mental notes as he talked. And he made this statement, I forget what the conversation was about, but he said basically a leader has to understand that whatever task a follower is doing will never be done exactly the way you do it. Because they're not you. They don't, first of all, they don't necessarily have your opinion or preference, nor have your experience or maybe even your maturity and wisdom. So they're going to make certain decisions. Okay, here's the parameter. As my decision in the field may be over here. Their decision may be over here. But as long as both are in the parameter, it shouldn't matter. Okay, I may say, well, you know, I would kind of do it this way, but they kind of do it that way. But it's within the parameters, and so it is good to go. Let's go back to Brother Choma. So he picks out the congregational songs. Now, the parameters are they have to be in the book. The parameter is that they have to be, there are certain songs that are first, certain songs that are second, certain songs that are third. You probably just seen them, you may not notice, but there is a philosophy about how we pick out songs. Which ones are first songs, which ones are second songs, which are third songs. And so as long as he's picking out first songs as first songs, second songs as second songs, third songs as third songs, as long as it's in the book, and we also have a big spreadsheet I think you keep up with, that so we're not repeating the same songs like every service, the very same songs. It may seem that way, but there's a lot of songs, and we try to, and there's some we sing more than others for different reasons, but there's all of this. That's the parameters that him and I have sat down and understand how this picking congregational songs. Now, in any particular service, I may say, how come we're not singing this song? But it doesn't matter to me because he's within the parameters. So I don't say anything to him. Like, I have certain songs that I like that I would, when I pick out songs, we sing them like every month. I maybe remember when I used to pick out songs, certain songs we sang every month because it's not his favorite song. It's my favorite song. So I'm going to sing it every month. We may sing it every 4 months when he picks them out. I know. It's tough being a pastor. You don't understand the burdens I bear as pastor. What I'm saying is this. It doesn't matter. A follower doesn't have to do it exactly like the leader. The follower only has to stay within the parameter. So let's go back to your kids. Because I'm trying to put this in different ways, not just in ministry, because that's automatically the way I roll. So I want to try it other ways. So let's go back to kids. Now, you're going to teach your kid, we'll go back to the cleaning of the room, putting away the clothes, whatever it is. And you're going to teach him probably how to fold and where, how to put them away and all these things. They're probably, no, maybe your kids are different. And if they are, great. I'm not in any way trying to say anything negative about your kids. Most kids, though, never fold their clothes as good as the mom folds them. The mom can, you know, she puts love in them and she folds them just right, you know, and hands them to the kid. And the kid tosses them and, you know, no, you got to put them in a knee. Oh, okay, they're kind of neat. Okay, so a child may not fold the clothes exactly like the mom folds them or the dad folds them. It may not be exactly like they would do it, but if they fold them and put them in kind of the right place and they do it consistently, that's, let me tell you, that's pretty good for a kid. A kid folds his clothes, puts the clothes away, that's pretty good for a kid. That may not be exactly as good as a parent would do it, but you say, okay, you know what, I can live with that. They're within the parameter. And so the leader sets the parameter, sets the fences, and lets the follower, as long as he stays within the fences, lets him kind of do his thing there. Now, at times, there may have to be a restating of the parameters, like, that's outside the parameter, bud. Don't do it that way. There has to be sometimes a resetting of parameters, because you realize, no, we need to tighten some things up because that's not exactly working. Or, maybe that's too tight. Maybe we need to expand it some. So sometimes they're restating a parameter. Sometimes they're resetting of parameters. But overall, as long as they're within the parameters, we don't want to unnecessarily involve ourselves all the time. Because that goes back to micromanaging, and we're not getting anything done. So that's the third thought. Let me give you the fourth thought about delegating. Go back with me to chapter 18, verse 24. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, made them heads of the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought to Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. Now, there's not a whole lot told us how that exactly worked out. There's some different ideas. There is the triangle idea, or the pyramid idea. So you had all the, you know, all the tens, and then the tens fed into fifties, and the fifties fed into hundreds, and hundreds fed into the thousands. But that seems like a lot of hierarchy and a lot of difficulty. It could have been that way. The Bible doesn't say. It could have been that they're all on the same level. So this man had 1,000, this man had 1,000, this man had 100, this man had 1,000, this man had 10, this man had 50, this man had 100, this man had 1,000, and they're all kind of on the same line. They just had different groups. They weren't necessarily multi-level marketing type groups like that. So it's really kind of hard to know exactly, because that's all we know about what happened. I don't know, maybe you could study a whole bunch of Jewish history and come up with some Jewish scholars who could enlighten us. I don't know. I've not been able to figure out exactly beyond what is written how they did that. But what would interest me is this. What would happen when a ruler of 10, maybe that's all he could handle at the time, but as he did that for a while, probably could handle more, wouldn't you think? He's kind of used to it. He's kind of doing good. And then maybe he gets promoted to maybe, hey, here's 40 more people we'll shove with your 10. And now I'm a ruler of 50. And do that real well. Now, maybe I'm a ruler of 100. So it is quite possible that whatever the ruler was at one moment wasn't what he always ruled. In other words, he would increase his delegation as he did a better job. So that brings us to the fourth thought, which is this. Delegation should strive to grow followers into leaders. So we're not just trying to put off our work onto other people. We're not trying to micromanage everything that people do. We're trying to help people reach their potential. Now, this is very much how a church should operate. We're not just simply trying to get a lot of things done. We're trying to grow people so they can be all that the Lord wants them to be. That's really what we're trying to do. You know why we have... Okay. Who in the world has their phone ringing? It doesn't matter whose phone it is. It doesn't. We don't need. Okay, don't point fingers. We don't need to judge. It doesn't matter. It's just a phone that rings. It's a phone that rings that's on mute, and it's ringing anyways. Now you wonder whose it is. Who leaves their phone back in the sound booth? It doesn't matter. We can talk about it at some other time. Yes, I think you kind of know whose phone it is by my red face and my. By double talk. That was interesting. You think about Sunday school ministry. Now, some people say, well, what we're going to do is, if we have one good teacher, let's say we have one good teacher and two or three not so good teachers. Why don't we take those two or three good teachers, kind of take them out, and we'll put all the people together in one big class with this really good teacher. Wouldn't that be good? That'd be absolutely terrible. You know the purpose of it, you may not know this, you know what the purpose of a Sunday school ministry is? To grow the teacher. Not to grow the class, to grow the teacher. Now, if the teacher grows, in theory, the class should grow. But it's to make them grow and be better. So we have several of our teachers there, but we'll mention two because we like to point out people and embarrass them. Cleveland 1, Cleveland 2, Brother and Mrs. Cleveland. They both teach a Sunday school class. You know what I've seen in them since they've been teaching? Growth. Because now they have to, I'm not saying you never study the Bible. I'm not saying anything negative. But when you're standing up before, it's like teenagers especially, you've got to have something to say other than, how you doing? Nice weather out there. I mean, you got to have something to tell them, something to teach them, something to keep the class going. And so, and then Mrs. Cleveland has the same thing, but she has little kids. And if you don't have something to say to little kids have plenty to say and plenty to do. And so you got to be on top of things. So you got to study and you got to prepare and you got to become. And so it has to expand yourself. My guess is this. I don't know. I never asked them. You can ask them later if you want to. But my guess is if you had asked Molly 5-6 years ago about teaching that class, she'd probably went, no. I don't think it was something that she wanted to do. I don't think maybe she didn't think she could or didn't want to. I don't know. But I think you like it. You love it. Good. That's what a pastor wants to hear. Hope it's the truth, too. She loves it. That's great. And the Brother Cleveland has told me how much he likes the teen class. It grows them. So delegating, really what you're trying to do is grow the people. You're giving them jobs to do, not because you're being lazy and don't want to do it, because you're trying to grow. Okay, let's go back to the kids. When you teach your kid how to clean his room, when you teach your kid how to wash the dishes, when you teach your kid, take the garbage out or mow the grass, whatever things you're delegating to your kids, it's not simply so you can sit at home, watch TV while your kids do all the work. It's so that you develop character and maturity in your children. You're trying to grow them. Because you want them, when they're adults, to be capable people of doing work and not be lazy bums. So you're trying to develop them. So delegation should strive to grow followers into leaders. That's really the big goal of delegating. To grow them, to help mature them. And that's what's happening here with these leaders, these rulers who are doing nothing. All of a sudden now they have to do some things and be mature and be thoughtful about what they're doing because Moses is appointing them. Delegating them some responsibility. So the delegation of a task now is going to be based on the character and the ability of the follower at that time of delegation. But what you find is this, how the follower responds to that delegation then could allow for more and greater delegation. So you could start out as a ruler of 10 and move up to a ruler of 50 or a ruler of 100. You may not be a ruler of 100 to start with, but you make them a ruler of 10, and maybe they can become a ruler of 50, and then they may become a ruler of 100. So in this way, a leader is providing growth opportunity for followers to develop as leaders. Let me give you the last thought, which is back to chapter 18. Look at verse 22. And let them judge the people at all seasons. So that's what these people he set up is doing. Now look at verse 26. And they judged the people at all seasons. So he set them up to do it, and now they're doing it. Which brings us to number 5. Delegation must be supported by the one delegating. It's bad to have a lazy boss. It's bad to have a micromanaging boss. It's also bad to have a boss that stabs you in the back. Because he gives you a job, and then all of a sudden, he won't support you in what he told you to do. Well, I don't know. He's doing his own thing. I'm doing what you told me to do, bud. The delegation of a task. Not everyone. Helps if I read the right point. Not everyone will agree with the one to whom you delegate the task. But if the person you delegated to, if they're staying within the parameter, you need to support them. So let's see here. Cole's not here, but I'll use Cole because this is an easy one because everyone has an opinion about music. So Brother Choma right now oversees congregational, put the words on the wall. He does the congregational side. Brother Maley does the special music side, whether the singers, the Christmas program thing, special music. That's his side. There'll be a change coming up because Brother Choma is leaving us to go to warmer weather in Tennessee. I don't know why, but anyways, he is next summer. So then some responsibilities will change. They all won't become coals, but some will. So right now, there's a divide, congregational, special music. So under special music, if someone comes to me and says, why don't they sing this song for special music? Here's my answer. Go see Brother Maley. Ask him. I don't know. Because he's the one I set up. So why am I trying to do what I gave him the job to do? Or if someone complains about it, I can say, no, I think Brother Maley's doing a good job. He's doing exactly what we asked him to do. So I'm not going to micromanage it, and I'm not going to stab him in the back. I'm not going to say, yeah, I know. He just does his own thing. He won't listen to me. If that was true, then I would deal with him. I wouldn't work through someone else. But if that's not true, I'm not going to throw him under the bus. That's the proverbial statement. I'm going to support him. I'm going to back him up. If I've asked someone to do something, I should support them and be behind them and encourage them. Not to jump ship just because all of a sudden people are against it. So if they're staying within the parameters, you need to support them. Now I want you to notice what happens in this delegating. Look with me and start back to verse 21. There's three things that you'll notice. It says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. So if I'm delegating, here's what I do. I choose carefully the one to whom you delegate. That kind of solves a lot of problems right there. Make sure you choose carefully. Sometimes you don't delegate because you don't have able men. So you just keep doing it until you have someone who you feel is capable of doing it. So it says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. Then it says this, and place such, I'm still in verse 21, and place such over them, over the people, to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. So the second thing in my delegating is I do this. I give them a clear task and the liberty to do it. So I'm choosing carefully. Then I give them those parameters. Here's the task I need you to do. Here's the parameters. I'm going to let you just do whatever it is. And then look at verse number 22. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee. Which brings us to a third part of that, which is this. Provide parameters that limits the need of your input. So you don't need to come to see me unless it goes outside of the fence. Give them authority, support them, give them the resources necessary. All right, let me give you a couple things quickly here. So I've tried to stay within the text about delegating. There's other lessons that are involved that wouldn't be within our text, but I tried to stay within our text. So with that thought in mind, give me a couple of conclusions. The reason for delegating tasks is to allow an organization to accomplish more without overburdening any one person in that organization. That's really what we're trying to do. We're not trying to make anyone lazy. We're just simply saying, let's try to spread it out so no one's getting the brunt of it. If it's too much for one person, let's get other people involved. So we're trying to accomplish more. Don't overburden anyone. If that's not the outcome, then really there's a problem with how you're delegating. If you're not accomplishing more or people are getting just dumped on, way overburdened, then that's a problem. The biggest challenge in delegating is identifying the right person for the delegation and know how much to delegate to them. That's the big challenge. You pick the wrong person, that won't. Something I learned from Brother Hiles, let me just throw this in because I just thought about it. Here's what Brother Hiles said. If I hire you to do a job and you totally blow it, he said, I'm not going to fire you because you're not the problem. The problem is I hired you. Why should I punish you for my lack of wisdom? So he'll take someone in the organization and keep. Now, obviously, our church is not 10,000 people like First Baptist Hammond, but he said, I'll move you around. And if we were there, I was there 8 years, Brother Chum was there 7, and we saw people moving around. Sometimes they're in high school, sometimes they're in the elementary school, sometimes they're in the college. They got moved around until they found a place that really that they could shine in. He said, I'm the one at fault. I hired you, and I'll find a place now that I thought that would be a fit, but it wasn't. So the biggest challenge in delegating is identifying the right person and knowing how much to delegate to them. which brings us full circle about to the Lord. Therefore, it always comes back to seeking wisdom and help from the Lord. Sometimes you don't get it right, but that's what you need to do. Lord, help me to do this in a way that honors you and deals right with people. All right. Hopefully something in that lesson was a help to you, whether in your own family, maybe in some situation you're involved in, maybe in ministry. Or if nothing else, maybe you understand more how things are supposed to work. All right.